with me the book of John.
The book of John. Let me real quickly remind you just before we start preaching, there's a lot of people sick, and you want to do all you can to watch out for that and keep your hands washed. Just a little lesson in etiquette. Keep your hands washed. Keep your fingers out your mouth. Amen. I'm telling you, there's sickness going around. The doctors are warning. They've got ads on television. Be careful. All right, Brother Gray, you got a word of testimony?
Yeah, I want to thank God for not allowing me to go off having that seizure Friday night while I was by myself. I knew my father was with me.
Amen. 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 All right. Anybody else got a word of testimony before we start preaching? All right. All right. Brother Danny, hit that track. We're starting to preach. Amen. You ready? All right. John chapter number 3. John chapter 3. You've got your Bibles. You know, we've got a tradition. I've got the tradition. I know you do. When Christmas time comes around, we always get excited. Amen. Y'all all right? Christmas time is a time of excitement, and we look forward to a lot of things at Christmas time. I like to watch the Christmas lights. I like to look at them. I like to drive around and look at Christmas lights. How many likes Christmas lights? I like that. I was reading yesterday the tradition of Christmas lights started when Martin Luther in Germany. Martin Luther was one of the reformers, and Martin Luther was walking home from service one night and saw a Christmas tree, and he saw the stars shining out behind it, and he went home and he took a tree and he decorated it with candles all over it and lit candles all around the tree, and that led to eventually people didn't want candles to catch on fire. That led to electric lights, and I'm glad I like electric lights. I like to look at it. I love the excitement of Christmas lights. I like the excitement of just family getting together, friends getting together, and the fellowship. I like those things. But I'll be honest with you. One of the most exciting things for Christmas, since I was old enough to remember anything, was getting gifts. Amen. I like it. I like to give them. I like to get them. We used to, when I was growing up, man, I was telling the kids this last week in Sunday school, we weren't allowed to come out of our bedrooms until our parents got us out of the bedrooms on Christmas morning. We were supposed to stay in our rooms. Nobody was allowed to go out. They wouldn't put the Christmas presents out until after we went to bed on Christmas Eve. Now, I know a lot of people put their presents out weeks ahead of the time, and everybody's sitting there filling them. We weren't allowed to touch anything. We weren't allowed to fill our stockings. But hey, on Christmas Eve, man, they would pile in things out there, and honestly, we would sneak out the room, you know, like we had to go to the bathroom, and we'd be looking down the hallway, and we'd be looking to see what was down there under the tree and around the tree. And I remember a lot of things I saw. I remember one year, Brother Rodney, I remember one year I looked down through there, and I saw these shiny red bikes. Amen? And I knew one of them was for me. Man, I was excited. Had my name on the front of it. I saw it, and I was like, wow. And I couldn't wait to get that thing. I remember a lot of different gifts that I got down through the years. Some of the things I was expecting, some of them I wasn't expecting. Can I tell on myself? I remember one time my mom had went Christmas shopping, and I was just probably about 3, maybe 4 years old. And she thinks I did this on purpose, but to this day I did not do this on purpose. Man, when I was a kid, I used to love the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Y'all with me? Kimo Sabe, amen. High Ho Silver. Hey, and that was, my mom, one year, she got me the horse and the man. It was like the little toy set of the Lone Ranger and one of them of Tonto and the horse there, Silver and Kimo Sabe and the different things. And so, anyway, she had them hid in her closet, Brother Rodney. She had them hid away. I wasn't supposed to know where they were. Honest to goodness, Brother Rodney, I didn't know it was Christmas to my recollection. But she caught me in her closet playing with them toys. Amen. And I was excited. Amen. I'm still excited. And I love Christmas. I still love Christmas. But, you know, I want to take the next couple of weeks, and I want to preach a series, if I can, on the greatest Christmas gift ever. the greatest Christmas gift ever. I've talked to a lot of people in the last week or so, and I've asked them the question, what's the greatest Christmas gift you ever received? I've got answers from some have given, you know, the time that they were saved, and I've tried to ask them about more of a material minded. What did you get for Christmas? You know, that and people have talked about, ladies have talked about when they were a child, they got a doll or a dollhouse, or some have talked about a puppy, and some have even talked about when their wife said yes that she would marry them. Different things. And everybody has, you probably today in your mind, how many can remember their favorite Christmas gift they've ever received? Come on, the rest of y'all's liars. Amen. Hey, we've all got gifts and we've enjoyed them. And so for the next week or two or three maybe, I want us to look at this, and I want to think about the greatest Christmas gift ever. You're thinking about, you know, everybody's thinking about the big bag and it's full of toys and full of gifts and what's in there. Well, I want us to look in John chapter number 3 this morning, and we're going to look at the very first Christmas gift, and I want to say that it's the greatest Christmas gift ever. And I want to preach on this thought this morning: God's gift to you. God's gift to you. John 3 in verse number 16, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." I want to preach this thought: God's gift to you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you most of all for Jesus. Amen. This morning we want to thank you for all you mean to us and all you have given to us and all you provide for us and how you watch over us and take care of us. And we're thankful for that. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and the atonement that he provided for our sins. God, we pray this morning, there be anybody here this morning, they don't know the Lord Jesus, God, they're lost and they're undone without God or his Son. God, I pray today would be the day that they come to know you and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of all the gifts that I've ever been given, of all the gifts I've ever seen anybody been given, I've watched commercials and seen people where they were advertising vehicles, and they would pull up that real shiny brand new car out in the snow. Y'all seen them commercials, and somebody would be standing there with the key in their hand. And man, they were given that vehicle. Man, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And different things. But of all the greatest gifts that I could compare, and of all the greatest gifts that you've ever been given, and all of what people would call the greatest gift they could ever imagine, none would compare to God's gift that he gave to you and I over 2,000 years ago. The Bible says here in John chapter number 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved that he gave." Can I say that the motive to all giving ought to be love? Can I say the reason some people don't give to the Lord and the reason some people don't give, period, is because they don't love? Amen. Can I say when you fall in love with God, you won't mind giving? I'm just giving you a little. God proves and gives the principle. He gives the basis of his giving is his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You say, what did he love? Can I say, the Bible said he loved the world. Can I say that that world, he's not talking about trees. He's not talking about just creation in itself. He's not talking about the ocean and that, and you know, the great mountains and the deserts and the rivers and the streams. Now, he's talking about the world of mankind, the world of humanity, the world that was lost in sin, the world that spit in his face, the world that had rejected him, the world that had turned their back on God. The Bible said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." He didn't say, I want to remind you, he didn't say, "For God so loved the southeastern part of the United States." He didn't say, for God so loved the United States, or God so loved North America, or God so... Hey, he, look up in here. He didn't say, for God so loved the white people, or for God so loved the rich people. He said, God so loved the world. I thank God that, hey, for God so loved the world, it includes you, and it includes me, and it includes the people in Africa, and it includes the people, hey, down the street, it includes the people on Skid Row. Thank God, whosoever includes you and me, amen. Amen, for God so loved the world that he gave. We understand a little bit about the love of God by looking at what he gave, and looking at how he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. I want to say something about this gift that he gave. God's gift to you. God's gift to me. God's gift to all. For God so loved the world that he gave. Can I say something, number one, about the description of this gift? The description of this gift. Can I say, first of all, this gift was a precious gift. It's a precious gift. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave, and he didn't stop there. He said that he gave his only begotten son. You know, if you had 10 sons or 12 sons, that'd be one thing. But the Bible said that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, he's narrowing it down to who he gave. He's letting you know that it was a precious possession that he gave. God's love that he gave his only begotten son. That only begotten, it shows us that our gift that God has given us, the Lord Jesus, it's a unique gift. It's one of a kind gift. You see, if you don't have a King James Bible, you may be a little bit misled here, because some Bibles would say, for God gave his one and only son. Or God gave his only son. Some translations mess up and say that, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, for God so loved that he gave us the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2, the Bible said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Who do you think John was talking about? Well, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 12, if you used to flip back a page or two, you'd see that the Bible says, but to as many are to them that received him, he said in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the ability, the power to become the sons of God. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a son of God. I became a son of God. God has more than one son. Are you with me? But God only has one only begotten son. There's only one, hey, of a kind. There's one of that unique characteristic. There's one of that unique description. Hey, one only begotten son. And can I say, when you narrow it down, hey, from a group, and you narrow it down, hey, there's only one. It's not a group that he chose people from. It's only one unique, only begotten son. And God so loved the world. I'm talking about the world of humanity that were just depraved, that was in sin, that turned their back on him and hated him and didn't want nothing to do with God. God so loved that world, them people, them group of humans. God loved us so much that he gave his one only begotten son. I'm talking about a precious gift. I'm talking about a very valuable, precious gift. It shows the value of it, that it's the only begotten son. So it's a precious gift, and I could speak all day about the preciousness. Some of you ladies have jewelry, and you have several different sets of earrings, but you may have one set of precious earrings. You may have a set of earrings. My wife's got some earrings that she wears every day. Are y'all with me? I mean, you buy them at Walmart, them kind. And then she's got one set of earrings that I bought her, and they're diamonds. Are y'all with me? She don't wear them very often, because she knows if she loses them, she ain't getting no more. Y'all, hey, you know what? They're precious to her. Hey, they're not like the others. Are y'all with me? Hey, there ain't no more in the jewelry box like them. You know what? When it comes to God giving his only begotten son, there ain't nobody else like him. There's no other gift you'll ever be given. He's a precious gift. But let me say this. Not only is he a precious gift, let me say this. He's a personal gift. God said, hey, that he so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. You understand that God gave His Son. Jesus belonged to God. He came out of the bosom of God. He came from God. He proceeded forth out of God. Because He is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came out of God. He is His begotten. Hey, He's begotten of God. Hey, personal to God. God could have done a lot of different things to redeem mankind, I'm sure. But He chose the plan that He would give His only begotten Son. His Son. A personal possession. Are y'all with me this morning? There's some of y'all this morning, you've got a son, you've got a daughter, you've got some children. And you love a lot of people. You may love your family, but I doubt very seriously there's anybody here this morning that would sacrifice and willingly give your own child to save not the church, not the people that you live around, but to save even the rest of your family. But God looked at a world that hated Him, that turned their back on Him, that had sinned against Him, that was annihilated from Him. And God looked at that world and said, I love them so much that I want to win them. I want to save them. I want to redeem them. I want to reconcile them back to me. And so He gave His only begotten Son. Can I remind you this morning, He gave His so you didn't have to give yours. It's a personal gift. Let me say this, it was a purposeful gift. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That, watch it now, here's the purpose. This is why God gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The purpose is that whosoever believeth should not perish. Can I say God is, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, not willing that, hey, you understand that means that God's desire is not that any would perish? Right. Are you with me? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to God. Hey, some people say, why did God send people to hell? Help me out this morning. God's not sending you to hell. Right. If you go to hell, you're going to step over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, you're going to shun the gospel. If you go to hell, it'll be of your own will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. The purpose of His gift, He gave this gift. He didn't give this gift. A lot of times we give gifts that are meaningless. How many ever give a gift to somebody just because you knew they were going to give you a gift? Let's be honest, amen. How many ever give a gift just because you was going somewhere and you felt guilty that if you didn't give a gift, you was going to be the only one that wasn't given a gift? Sometimes we waste our money and our time because there's no thought behind it. There's no meaning behind it. There's no purpose. But how many of you got a gift that you knew somebody really put some thought into it? That you knew that they really cared about that gift. They put some thought and some time and some effort. Man, they went out of their way to give you something that meant something. How many of you ever had a gift like that? Can I say God put some thought and some time and some effort into the gift He gave? Hey, I'm going to say in eternity past, in the halls of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they got together and they came up with a plan. And the plan, this, can I help you this morning? And when Jesus went to the manger as a baby, and then He grew up and went to the cross to die for your sins, and then He went to the tomb, and then He come out. Can I say to you, that was not Plan B. That wasn't, hey, if this don't work, we'll go there. Look up here. That was God's plan. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, when God gave Jesus, there was a purpose behind it. He's a purposeful gift. He came so that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. God's got a purpose behind the gift. God puts some effort and some thought behind the gift. Man, thank God we can have everlasting life. Matter of fact, if you used to look over in John, in chapter number 20, in verse number 30 and 31, John talks about why he wrote the book of John. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But verse 31, he said, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life
through his name. God wants you to have life. God wants you to have everlasting life. God wants you to have abundant life. God wants you to have eternal life through his son. And that's the only way you'll ever have eternal life. That's the only way you'll ever know life. That's the only way you'll know everlasting life and abundant life and a life worth living, is to know the Lord Jesus and to have the gift that God gave over 2,000 years ago. It's a purposeful gift. Let me say this, if you hadn't figured this out, it's a profound gift. I mean, it's a profound gift. The word profound has the idea of it's deep. It's deep. Man, I've been around some people and they get to talking. And I'll be honest with you, I've been to college and I got a degree and everything. But some people get to talking and I just look back and say, that's deep. I mean, I'm still an old country boy, you know what I'm saying? And you know me, I'm simple. And when I talk pretty simple, I think. I mean, I'm country as cornbread. And I know it. And I ain't trying to be somebody I ain't. But I get around some people, man, they get to talking. And I'm like, wow, I don't understand all their time. Can I tell you that when I think about the gift that God gave, I enjoy it, man. I love it. I'm glad about it. I enjoy the parts I understand. But there's a lot, Brother Rodney, that I don't understand why he gave. I don't understand, Caleb, why God loved me so much. Hey, can I say, if you knew me like God knew me, I doubt very seriously if you'd love me. And the same could be said about you. It's a profound gift. Hey, it's penetrating. It's going far beyond the supernatural. This love and this gift goes far beyond the surface. It goes far beyond what you see. Hey, this love is a love and a gift that surpasses all other love and all other gifts. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wow, what a profound gift, man. I'm telling you, there ain't no gift ever been given like this gift. No gift ever, would compare to the gift that God gave of his own precious son. No gift will ever come close to the gift that God gave of his own darling son. I'm telling you, you'll never get a gift under a tree. You'll never get a gift in a stocking. You'll never get a gift, in your driveway or in your garage. You'll never get a gift anywhere, at any time, that ever will compare to the gift that God gave when he gave his only begotten son. What a profound gift that God. So love the world. The God, think about this. God, the one who is self-existent, the one who does not, he does not need you and I in order for him to be God. He can exist just like he did before he created this earth without us. Are you with me? That God, holy God, a God that is separate from sin. The Bible speaks of his holiness and he can't even look on sin. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, the Father turned his back on him for 3 solid hours because he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, and God the Father had to turn his back on his own son because he became sin. That God, so separate from sin, yet he loved us. Yet he loved us. Sinful man. Fallen and in need of a redeemer, in need of a savior. And he looked on us. And something in his own character, because the Bible said, God is love. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. And his love compelled him to give his only begotten son. There's a profoundness in that you and I may never truly understand the depths of the Father's love. Oh, how great and how magnificent the love of God. What a gift, a profound gift. I'm thinking about the description of the gift, but let me move on and talk about the reception of the gift. The reception of the gift. He says here in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever," that he gave his only begotten son, "that whosoever believeth." Can I say the reception of this gift is offered to all? We've touched on this earlier. This gift has been offered to all. It's been offered to whosoever. There's no defining barriers on whosoever. He didn't say whosoever is white and believeth, or whosoever is an American and believeth, or whosoever is a Jew and believeth. Are you with me? He didn't say whosoever has a lot of money and believeth, or whosoever is faithful and believeth. He said that whosoever believeth.
Right.
The gift is offered to all. What gift? Hey, can I say not only is it offered to all, and you need to understand that, hey, Jesus Christ, the Bible said in 1 John 2:2, he's the propitiation or the satisfaction of God's holiness. You know, when God looks at us and he has to have a redeemer, he has to have somebody to satisfy the holiness of a righteous God, he couldn't find it in you and I. There's nothing in you and I that would satisfy a holy God. So he gave his only begotten son to die so that his blood and him and his sacrifice would be the propitiation, the satisfaction, the atonement. Not for our sins, John said, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God, the whole world. And so this gift is offered to whosoever. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gift is offered to whosoever. But can I say the sad fact is this gift that is offered to all is only opened by few. It's only opened by few. He said, whosoever believeth in him. And I want to remind you this morning, there's a lot of people out there this morning, they're religious. There's a lot of people out there this morning, they're going through religious ceremonies. They're going through a lot of different customs. There's people out there that are way more dedicated than I. You understand the Muslims, man, they pray five times a day, man. They bow, stop wherever they're at. No matter what's going on, they stop, drop, and bow. Are y'all with me? Man, hey, they wear that junk all over them and do things and go through the Ramadan and all that stuff. Hey, can I say, hey, there's a lot of people more dedicated than you and I. Man, they are religious to the hilt. They are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. And I want to remind you this morning, there's people saying, well, I believe if you don't know the truth and you may not have it all together, but if you believe and you're just sincere in what you believe, that God is a good God and God knows if you're sincere. I want to remind you this morning, God knows if you're sincere, but it doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're sincerely wrong. God said there's only one name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. He's given him the name that's above every name. That every knee should bow, things in earth, things under the earth. Hey, things in the earth, things under the earth. Hey, and he said that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. There's only one name that can save you. That's the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people that's sincere. They're in their religious. They go through the ceremonies. They go through the. They may be a Muslim. They may be a Jehovah's Witness. They may be a Mormon. They may be. And they're sincere. Man, they go to church every week. They can do this. And they think, well, everybody's going to heaven. I just want to help you out. Hey, look up in here. We ain't dogs, but everybody ain't going to heaven. Hey, just because you go to church don't make you a Christian no more than sitting in a garage will make you an automobile. You with me? I'm saying, hey, it's offered to all, but it's opened by few. Man, I have seen some gifts. I remember one year at our house, we had a gift for somebody, and it laid up underneath the tree, and they didn't come by on Christmas, and they didn't come by the day after Christmas, and guess what? They never came by. That gift sat there for a couple weeks, and it never got opened. Never got opened. Somebody had a gift. You know, a gift is something that somebody gives to you. There's no hinges, man. You don't buy a gift for yourself. Well, some people do. But hey, when you receive a gift, hey, it's like this. Here's a gift. All right, I'm going to let this represent a gift, and I'm going to give this to you. I'm offering you this gift. I've got it. I've got it in my hand. It's in my possession, and I want you to have it. This gift is valuable to you. This gift will be precious to you. This gift will change your life, and here's the gift. But you know, the sad thing is, that right there is an example of what most people do with the gift. They hear about it. They may look at it. They may know a little bit about it. They may think, oh, that's great. But until you reach out and receive the gift, that gift does you no good. And the same way with God's precious gift that he gave, hey, of his only begotten son. God said, I've gave my son. Here he is. But John 1:11, hey, he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power. And God says, look, here's the gift. Here's my son. Here's my son. It's not, hey, look up in here. It's not a religious tradition. It's not a set of rules. It's, hey, look up in here. I'm giving you my son. Here he is, my son. He says, I'm giving you my son. And whosoever believeth, whosoever will receive him, believe in him. Hey, should not perish. And it's opened by few. Opened by few. Could you imagine a great big gift sitting up underneath your Christmas tree this year? It's got your name on it, Brother Rodney. Man, it's probably about a little longer than that table and about that wide, about like that in a box. And you can tell, and you got a good idea what's in it. If somebody put a box about yay long, probably about that long, and about that wide, and about that thick underneath my Christmas tree and had it all wrapped up, I'd be thinking, man, that's a 30-06. And I'd be chomping at the bit, waiting, you know. But could you imagine if that gift was there and you just said, ain't a big deal to me. Somebody put a lot of thought, somebody put a lot of time, somebody put a lot of effort into getting that gift. Surprising you with that gift, wrapping that gift up. Man, they spent a lot of money. It's precious to them. They've sacrificed to give you that gift. And you just say, nah, I don't need that gift. I'm not going to open that gift. It ain't a big deal to me. And you just leave it sit there. You say, preacher, that wouldn't happen. Can I say to you that there's people that do that to the Lord Jesus day after day, week after week, year after year. Nah, I don't need it. I don't need him. Can I say, it's offered to all. It's opened by few, but he's obvious when everyone opens him. It's obvious to all when anyone opens him. When anyone receives him, watch what he says here in verse number 21. But he said this, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought of God. That word manifest, it means to make visible or to expose something, to make something known, to make one realize something. Can I say to you, you say, well, I'm not sure if I've ever been saved. I'm not sure if I've ever received this gift. Honey, I want to remind you this morning, the Bible still says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Can I help you out this morning, that if you ever trust Christ, and you ever really mean business with God, and he saves you from your sin, and he changes you and makes you a new creature, and you receive the gift of salvation, there won't be no questions in your mind if you ever took care of business. No, hey, it'll be obvious. It'll be obvious to you. The whole person of the Holy Ghost will be living inside of you. Oh, Lester Roloff used to say, you mean somebody as big as God lives inside of you and you don't know it? You think about it. You mean you've been resurrected from death unto life and you don't remember getting out the graveyard? That's the comparison of what salvation is. I'm saying, hey, when you get saved, it'll be obvious. Hey, you'll know it. There's people says, well, I don't know. I think I've been saved for years. I just didn't know about it. No, you'll know about it. You'll know about it. Hey, you may not remember being born as a baby, but you know good and well it happened. How many sitting here this morning? I mean, you're not sitting here. Miss Margaret, are you sitting there? No. Hey, how many sitting here this morning? Honestly, you're sitting here in a physical body this morning. Everybody's sitting here, raise your hand. If you're sitting here this morning, you was born physically. Amen?
Amen.
And yet there's evidence to prove it. It's manifest.
Amen.
It is manifest that you were born. And guess what? If you've been born again, into the family of God, you've received the gift of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus, I promise you it will be made manifest.
Amen.
It will, just as sure as you're sitting here this morning, there'll be some evidence that you received Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, he said it's made manifest. And so there's the reception of the gift. Hey, it'll be just like somebody that received that gift. Man, could you imagine when you get that gift you've been looking forward to, you've been excited about, and Christmas time comes, and you open that thing up, it's got your name on it, you open it up, woo! You're excited about it. You ever been excited to get a gift? All right, Debbie, Miss Debbie, you ain't never been excited. Jerry ain't never got you nothing. She's like, man, I ain't never been excited. Hey, you get excited at Christmas time. Can I say, when you open up the gift of salvation, it'll excite you.
Hey, when you receive Jesus Christ, but can I say this? Not only there's a description of the gift, not only the reception of the gift, but sadly there's a rejection of the gift. There's a rejection of the gift. There are those, there are many, the Bible said, many that will not go and receive the gift of salvation. There are many today that will turn aside the free gift that God has given to the world. Can I say number one about this rejection? Number one point is it's real. The rejection is real. It happens. You say, preacher, do people, you would be surprised at the people sitting in this room that will reject today the gift of salvation. They'll reject it because of pride. They don't want nobody to think they wasn't saved already. They'll reject it because maybe they're shy and they're afraid of what people will think if they was to step forward to be saved. They'll reject it for a lot of different reasons. Some of them reject it because they think they just don't need it. But the sad fact is, people reject this gift every day, day in, day out, Sunday after Sunday. They come to church. They're offered the salvation. Hey, if you want to be saved, come forward. And they know they need to be saved, but they go away. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. And they don't realize the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know you've got tomorrow. You don't know you've got next Sunday. But the rejection of this gift. I'm talking about a gift that's precious, a gift that was personal, a gift that's profound and purposeful. It will bring you everlasting life. But people say, I don't need it. You already know what's in it. I'm telling you what's in it. But you don't want it. You won't open it. The rejection is real. But can I say that rejection is revealing? That rejection, you say, what does it reveal? To reveal means to make something up. Can I say, according to the scriptures here in verses 18 through 20 and 21, hey, the scriptures say that this rejection reveals some things about the people who don't receive the gift. Some people who will not reach out and take the gift. It says here, hey, in verse number 18, that it reveals their condemnation. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but watch the next phrase of verse 18. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Some people say, well, I'm all right. I was born saved, like Joe Osteen. No, you was lost when you was born, and you're lost now if you ain't never been saved. You with me? Y'all all right? He that believeth, hey, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you have never made a conscious choice to choose and to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. You were born, can I put it this way? You were born on your way to hell. I didn't know that, preacher. The Bible says that he that believeth not is condemned already. That's why God gave his son. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Reveals their condemnation. Can I say you can turn aside, you can reject this gift, but you will face judgment. You're condemned already. It reveals your bondage to sin and your love of sin. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. Watch this. That light is coming to the world. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse number 5 through 7 and 8, he talks about the light in the world, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's the light that came to light every man. And he said, and light in verse number 19 is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, it reveals that they love sin, but it also reveals that they hate the Savior. You say, preacher, I don't hate God. I don't hate Jesus. I'm just not ready yet. The Bible says, are you with me? I'm not worried about my opinion or your opinion. But the Bible says about the person that's not saved that they are at enmity with God. They are enemies of God. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible characterizes you as an enemy of God. And if you don't know what an enemy is, hey, Afghanistan is our enemy, whether you believe it or not. Pakistan's our enemy. I don't know where everybody say, oh, they want our... Nah, they hate our guts. They just want our money. All right? Iran is our enemy. Russia's our enemy. Are y'all with me? China's our enemy. They just try to own us. I'm trying to get you to see what an enemy is. Hey, when you go to fight, you've got an enemy. Hey, you don't go to battle with your friend. You go to battle with an enemy. Are y'all with me? What I'm trying to say this morning is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God says you're his enemy. So I didn't understand that. And you understand God loved you so much that you don't have to stay his enemy. You can receive this gift. But see, people reject it, and it reveals their love of sin. Some people won't get saved. They won't trust Christ because they love sin. Because they love that sin they're involved in. They'd rather hold on to whatever it is that they love more than Jesus than to receive him. They love that adultery. They love that gambling. They love that drunkenness. They love that, you name the sin, whatever it is. They love their sin. They love to please their self more than they love the greatest gift that was ever given. Well, I said it's real. I said it's revealing. Let me say this. This rejection is ruinous. It will bring ruin on your life. He said this. He said, you're condemned already. In verse 36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You understand that if you reject Christ, you're going to reach a point, whether it's a time in this life when God says, I'm done dealing with you, and the Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being off from reproof and hardened at the neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You understand, you can get to the point where God says, I will not deal with you anymore. I've dealt with you in love. I've dealt with you in patience. I've gave you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And God says, enough is enough. You don't want me? Bingo. Or it may come when God's dealing with you and you slip out into eternity, or the rapture takes place. And honey, it's too late. There'll be no second chances. There's no such thing as purgatory. You won't find that in the pages of Holy Scripture anywhere. There's no such thing as getting up there and all my goods go outweigh my bad. No, either you trust Christ or you go to hell. But the greatest gift that's ever been given was given over 2,000 years ago. So you don't have to face this ruin. You don't have to face condemnation. You don't have to face judgment. You don't have to face hell. You don't have to face the destruction for eternity. You can receive this gift. Can I say this lastly? The rejection of this gift is just plain ridiculous. It's plain ridiculous. The gift has been offered. The greatest gift. We talk about, for God so loved the world. I can't even define it as great as it is. It's so profound. It's utterly ridiculous that people would sit in a church and hear the gospel preached, that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that week after week, all their life, they'd say, no. No. Not today. Not for me. No, 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 I don't need him. Well, 1 John 4, verse 9, he said, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loves you so much. Sinner friend, God loves you so much. Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not waiting on you to clean up. He's not waiting on you to do this and to get to this point in your life. No, all he's waiting for you to do is just simply by faith reach out and receive the gift that he offers. God's gift to you. Will you receive it today or will you reject it? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for mercy and grace. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus, the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. And I pray this morning you might speak to hearts and lives. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and they're lost. They've been in a church. They've been religious. They've done a lot of things. But this morning they realize for the first time. Or maybe they just remembered, been reminded of the fact that they have never personally trusted Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. God, I pray today would be the day that they would come to know you. Have your will and way in this invitation, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.